Alan to deal with me. Now, I know many of you know who Alan is, but we are going to get into some great topics today regarding what's to come in the next season. So, Alan, my dear friend, thank you for being with me today.
Joseph C., we are so thankful for you, for your ministry, for your team there. We're so excited for the new facility that you have. And I got to say this very quickly to all of your partners. Thank you for making this possible, because Joseph C. Ministries is like a stream in the desert. And for you to stand behind him and to support this, it means the world to me, because this message is, and this word is desperately needed today. So I'm just honored to be here, man. Thank you.
Oh, Alan, many of you know too, my daughter got married a few days back, and Alan was so gracious. You were so gracious to come on and cover, and I got great feedback on your broadcast. You always articulate so well, and I'm just so grateful for your ministry. And I wanted to go into some things today. I wanted to ask you, because it was this past year, I think I was preaching for you at Encounter today at the church, Encounter Church. And if you don't know what that is, we're going to get into more of that. I'll tell you want to attend Alan's church if you're in the area. You'll be blessed. You'll get great, healthy teaching. The worship is powerful. You'll get encounters with the Lord, and you'll get just raw, good, healthy teaching. You'll get steak, not cereal there. So when I was there, and I believe it was there, it was either there or previous to that. And I don't know if we were either on a broadcast together or there, but you had a prophetic unction come out of you. And it hit me so hard, because I was praying about 2024. And as I was praying about it, I kept hearing this word, the roar in 24 and all this. And you came out and said something so powerful, and it just smacked me in my inner man. I thought, my goodness. And you began to declare the words, there will be a war, or there's war coming in 24. You worded it something like that. And Alan, that struck me. Would you please take a moment and talk about that revelation you've seen? And obviously we're stepping into that already, but you had that word way in advance before all the wars broke out. And now going into 24, what do you see? What is the Lord showing you around that space, just for a moment?
Yeah, and it's so important to bring these prophetic voices together, because when you brought out that word about the roar, and then I saw you minister on that, I said, that is the perfect combination. Because when we can start to talk about this, believers can get in a defeatist mentality, get war weary. One of the most dangerous places you can be in is to be war weary. That was the condition of America leading into the First World War. And I talk about that in my book, Armed for Victory, that there was a chemist and an inventor and a historian who was trying to get America to wake up to the simmering conflict that was taking place all over the world. But they were just weary, just tired of warfare, tired of being involved, tired of engaging. It's not that important. I think the church is in a very precarious situation right now, where we have become war weary, partially because of the faux spiritual warfare that is foisted on us continually through ingenious sermon series and masterful marketing tactics, where spiritual warfare has become like an RPG role-playing game, where it makes great t-shirts, great hats, great little sayings for a bumper sticker, but it's not real warfare. And so we've frittered away our attention, and we only have so much attention span. We've frittered it away on meaningless warfare. So when you and I start to talk about this, people just kind of throw that into the hodgepodge of spiritual warfare language that they have had foisted on them over the last few years. And I want to say this very seriously and very soberly. I heard the Spirit of God say this, that there will be a war in 24. Now, there's layers to this, Brother Z. There's layers to this politically, internationally, geopolitically, as well as spiritually. And if I could take a second to unpack this,
please do.
When we go to First Samuel, I believe it is, chapter 21, and there we find, I believe, a prophetic parallel for where we are right now in the body of Christ, where David is running from Saul, and he goes into the temple where Ahimelech is serving, the priest. Yes. And he says, do you have any weapons? And he said, well, we actually have here Goliath's sword. We're not going to take time to talk about that. I'm not getting back into Goliath's sword right here.
Oh, it's good though, man. It's good.
But it's so important. And not only that, where Goliath's sword was located, it was located behind the ephod, which speaks of intercessory prayer, standing in the gap. And if we're going to get the weapons that we need, utilize them properly. we're going to have to understand intercessory prayer going into this year, like faith-filled intercessory prayer.
Yeah.
There's kind of been this division in the body of Christ where there's prophetic intercessory prayer and faith and intercessory prayer, yeah. And the two don't mix together. So people are crying out for things, and they never believe that they receive when they pray.
Come on.
So they just keep asking and asking and asking and asking. Begging. You got to get to a point eventually where you say, in the name of Jesus, I believe I receive victory in America. I'm not going to keep looking for Jezebel to fall. I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, Jezebel has fallen. And she's not getting back up again. And you got to take, I'm not saying that you say that flippantly as a form of optimism, but you have to reach a place of real faith where you know that it's done. And so that aside, when we're talking about the ephod, it's hidden. The weapon is hidden behind the ephod. But there's several characters in this story, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this as well, are absolutely key for what I'm talking about here. In this story, there is Ahimelech, the priest. There's David, who's looking for weapons and provisions. There's Saul, who represents the old guard. These are the temple guards of what used to be. Mm-hmm. And let me say that the civil war that's coming is going to be within the church. We're going to see that at a heightened level in 2024, a schism. The hot are getting hotter and the cold are getting colder. I read this before I came on. This is a quote by Lee Brainerd, who is a tremendous eschatological historian and theologian. And I just posted this on Twitter. He said, the last days church is being sifted over the truth of prophetic scriptures.
Oh, wow. What a statement.
And he kind of walks that out a little bit. So your understanding of the end times puts you in a camp.
It does.
That's going to determine your success or victory moving forward in 2024. So we've got these characters here. We've got Ahimelech. He's the most tragic character. I'll tell you what he represents here in a moment. You have David, you have Saul, then you have Doeg. Now, Doeg is a very interesting character. Doeg is the chief herdsman of Saul, chief herdsman. Now, Doeg means fearful. Chief herdsman, that makes me think of a mega church pastor.
Yep, I'm with you.
So he was a herdsman of thousands. So we have a mega church pastor who is fearful of losing his job security, so he cannot embrace the prophetic word. He is fearful of losing favor with the old religious guard. This is what is about to happen American church.
As a result,
he betrays Ahimelech.
Oh.
And Ahimelech and his entire house is murdered for helping Saul. Now, we could certainly get into the news of the day that just broke today, that there is now absolute evidence that the administration was colluding with big tech companies to find out who shared certain conservative posts so that they could put them on a watch list. So who you supported determines whether or not you're an enemy of the state, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, political struggles, and you can interrupt me anytime you want.
I'm enjoying this, Alan.
That's the anointing.
I want to hear you. Come on.
Political struggles are always reflective of spiritual battles in America. So what you see happening politically, you can just mark it down if you want to kind of get a prophetic edge to your vision of what's happening in America.
Yep.
Just look at what's happening politically and say, okay, that's a reflection of a spiritual battle that's happening right now. Look at what's happening in the Republican Party right now. A schism and a division is taking place. And those who are just seeking their own power, who just want to advance their own agenda, they're trying to hold on to power while there's this whole rush of new people who are trying to put the nation first, trying to put America first. Now, I'm not being political. I'm just saying that's what's happening in the church. There is an old guard who's trying to protect their positions.
That's right.
Their finances, their facilities, all the things that they've garnered over the years.
That's right.
And then there's a new guard, and you're a part of that. There's this new wave that's coming in. There's been a transition that's taking place.
There has.
And so there's a war, the civil war, this cold civil war that's been happening in the church.
That is a good way to say it, Alan. Yep. It's about to become hot. You'd mentioned this before, and when we've talked about this, one of the things I thought of is, I think it's Barna Research Group, that they talked about every 20 years or so, that what was once a move of God becomes institutionalized because they start looking at their past more than their future. And then when it gets to that point, the institution begins to protect because it's no longer growing or creating life. Now it's trying to protect what it once had. And so new people coming on the scene, whatever the institution cannot now control, it must kill or persecute. And I believe that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it?
That's exactly right. That's why you represent a danger to the old, you represent a danger to the House of Saul.
Wow.
Because that's where we are right now, this conflict between the House of David and the House of Saul. Now, here's the prophetic warning. I believe 2024 is a warning to Ahimelech, the House of Ahimelech.
Yeah.
Ahimelech was killed. He wasn't aware of the civil war that was going on. Ahimelech didn't know. Here we have David, Saul's right hand. He needs help. Okay, I'll help him. And he helps him, and he and his entire house are destroyed, not because he's innocent, but because he's ignorant.
Wow.
And the church has to wake up to this schism. Look at what's happening on Amazon Prime right now. You got a movie about cessationism. You got American Gospel parts 1, 2, and 5,200, where they're making all kinds of money attacking prosperity preachers.
Yeah, there's, making money attacking prosperity.
No, it's exactly right. Yeah. They have made war with us. I think it's time we responded. Now, come that on, is not Alan. To say that we don't treat people who are in these camps as brothers and sisters, because they're deceived and they're ignorant of the captivity that they're held in. But we must bring the gospel to them just like we do to the world. So I don't want to sound too radical about it, but it's just so important that people recognize if you're ignorant of this battle and you don't know what side you're on, you will become a casualty of the war.
Those
who are prepared for the war will flourish. Those who are unprepared will flounder in 24.
That's so good. Well, I'm telling you, that what a word. First of all, everybody is watching right now. As we're here together, I'm here with Bishop Alan. I encourage you to repost this, share this everywhere you can, because we're just getting into some very vital information today. It's revelatory. If you listen with the ears of your heart, you begin to listen with your spirit, man, I believe you're going to pick up something today that'll give you the horsepower and the endurance to break into this next season. You don't have to be a casualty in the next round, because I'm telling you, another round is coming. And what Alan's laying down for us today, I'm telling you, it's prophetic. If there's ever been a prophetic word to listen to, this is it regarding what's coming this next year. So as the body of Christ and these collisions are taking place, and as people are responding the way they are and going about business as usual, if they don't catch the revelation of what's coming next, they will be casualties, and ignorance doesn't work. How do we wake them up, Alan? How do they wake up?
You know, it's kind of, and I'm so thankful for your message, and this has been ringing in my spirit the last week or so. We've got one more round.
One more round.
That word that you spoke has been resonating in my spirit, especially recently. How do we wake them up? Number one, we must recognize the great apologetics of our day, eschatology. Amen. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those two are the great apologetics of our day. So in order to wake them up, we must understand eschatology and impart that revelation to them of how important it is to recognize the imminence of the return of Jesus Christ.
Come on.
And how that protects us, that mindset protects us from the deception of the enemy. Number two, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You will find that a lot, not all, but a lot who fall prey to a lot of the Reformed theology and the Calvinism are drifting away from the baptism in the Holy Spirit and our Pentecostal roots.
Yes.
So if we'll begin to walk in that and then impart that evangelistically, again, we must become intentionally
evangelistically imparting the power of God. I love
that's it. That's exactly right. Yes. Yes, we must treat the baptism of the Holy Ghost as we do the gospel, because it is a part and parcel of the gospel, and preach it to those who are hurting because they need it desperately.
So powerful. Alan, we are living in a time of dramatic deception, and people are debating and arguing over the dumbest stuff right now, and they're leaving the main thing. They're forgetting what really is going to get results instead of arguing over crazy stuff. So one of the questions, you know, I was recently, you know, I have a mutual friend, Rick Renner, and I was asking him questions about the days of Noah mm-hmm. and the way things are going. And I want to ask you this question too. You know, Matthew 24, verse 37, it says, but as the days of Noah were, it goes into saying, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And we recognize that. And we're seeing people that are laying back. They're not pressing in. And there was a worldwide deception during Noah's time also. And just to make one more point about what you've already said, which I enjoy so much, about Goliath's sword. That message resonates with me so much. Using the weapons of the enemy for the work of the righteous. Mm-hmm. I just love that. That's a whole message in a word. And you need to get Alan's book, Armed. You need to get that book. And what's the exact title, Armed?
Armed for Victory.
Armed for Victory. You need to get that book. I've read it cover to cover. It's tremendous. I encourage you to get that book. Such a blessing. But when we're talking about this, as the days of Noah, you got people that were basically ridiculing Noah, making fun of Noah. There was malfeasance going on with the wicked, nefarious powers, the rebellious, mutinous angels, all of it. And here we are today. And Jesus is saying, when the Son of Man comes, it's going to be like that time. Alan, your thoughts as you're breaking down this revelation for the coming season, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, isn't it interesting? And by the way, as it was in the days of Noah, we wouldn't have thought that the entire conversation of the world would shift to talking about Noah.
I know.
As Rick Renner has laid out, he's discovered the location of the ark.
I know.
And the whole world is talking about Noah, and we wouldn't have imagined that they would literally mean that we would actually be talking about Noah, and yet here we are right now having that conversation, and they are in the world as well. But it's interesting in that verse, what I was thinking when you said that was, and they are marrying and giving in marriage,
there it is,
and eating and drinking, and carrying on with life as usual. And this is really important, because when we're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he touches down on this earth, when he goes to the Mount of Olives, for example, and it splits and water flows out of the Mount of Olives, and he begins to rule with a rod of iron, at that moment in time, no one's marrying and giving in marriage before the moments before that happens. They are crying out for the rocks to fall on them. They are begging for the sweet relief of death and unable to find it. As only 10% of the population survives this serious time of the tremendous judgment of God comes on the earth, as it was in the days of Noah. But before that judgment hit, no one was talking about a flood. No one was, they were scoffing. And here's what Peter says. Know this also, in the last days, there'll rise scoffers, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?"
Right.
So it's important for people to recognize that there's going to be a moment in history when everybody says peace and safety, and then there's going to be sudden destruction that comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child.
That's right.
We are now in the tipping point moment of human history, a dispensational tipping point, if you will.
We are.
Where things are about to change graphically and dramatically. And you used two words that I quoted in, and I'm trying to remember what they were now when you were talking about the coming year, but it's going to be amazing and it's going to be brutal. I don't remember what the words you
brutal,
said were.
I remember saying that, yeah.
Yeah, brutal was one, and the other brutal. One was amazing. It's like this is a moment of dangerous opportunity, 2024.
Yeah, that's good, Alan. So
and that's
powerful.
What the days of Noah were. It was a moment of dangerous opportunity. And Noah was in the midst of all of that. And he was a preacher of righteousness in the middle of all that.
Yes. You know, I like talking with you because, yeah, if you could call it this, it's like the prophetic juice starts going, you know, like the voltage, the conversation begins to increase. And when I'm talking about the United States and I see it going to a decline, a time of darkness, and your word on the war in 24, America will be in war in 24. And then I see this time where it comes out and I see a tornado in the middle of that and all these things. I really believe this is not the end. Alan, this is just what I see. You know, now the word of God, we have to stand on the word of God. But I believe this is not the end because I do believe we have another round to accomplish. It's going to be hard. But this next round, I believe, is where the reformers are going to be born. I believe they're going to come out of this tornado, out of this war zone, so to speak. And I believe we're going to see a new America. And your word, you know, every time you preach, actually, I get really moved. So I pay attention to people that really have the anointing of God on them. And you carry that. Now, if you haven't heard Alan preach, you haven't been to his church or seen him operate, I'm just telling you, this is a ministry that you want to pay attention to. It's an uncompromising ministry. It's a ministry that will push back hell. It's a ministry that will rescue sons and daughters and bring real truth with apostolic level teaching. And that's what Alan DiDio brings. But just saying that, I believe that we are going into that time. And I believe somewhere around the end of 24, we're going to see a fire in 25. And I keep seeing the word pick up sticks in 26, Alan. But in that time frame, do you see the reformer spirit? Do you see that beginning to rise with a new generation? You're kind of already wording it that way. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, without question. Because what we see in that in 1 Samuel 21 is the rise of David.
Come on.
This is when he already has the anointing, but he's not in the position. And this war has to take place. There has to be a sifting so that the cream can rise to the top. And that's exactly what's happening right now. That's really interesting. And pick up sticks in 26. So you believe that's going to be a time where we begin to build again, where we begin to put the pieces back together?
I think so. I think it's going to be whatever has happened. We're going to have to start sorting through it. And either we're going to be in a whole new system, or it's going to be a totally good system or evil. But either way, we're going to have to count the cost of what's happened.
That's why we have to prepare, because the people who are prepared will be the leaders in the next season.
Come on.
If the shaking that's coming shakes you too, you'll falter with everyone else. But if you're prepared, they will come to you for aid, for assistance, for wisdom, for guidance. And this doesn't in any way abate the imminence of God. This is really important, because we're talking about the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins, which is all about being prepared to wait, being prepared right now and being prepared to wait. And so when we talk about imminence, well, how could it be imminent if there's going to be this, 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 and this? Well, let me ask you this. When Hezekiah prayed, God said, you're going to die. And what happened when Hezekiah prayed? Extended his life. God, after saying, this is what's going to happen, God altered it and extended his life. Yes. Here's what Brother Joseph Z and I give God permission to do.
Yeah.
Give us wisdom concerning what's coming. And if you decide to send Jesus and interrupt it all, we're okay with that.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Who's going to complain?
Alan, you know, I think I'm reminded of Matthew 24 again when you say this, because what did he say? These things were coming. We knew what happened in 70 AD. We knew these things were going to happen. Jesus prophesied it. Not one stone will be left upon another. This is going to be how it goes. When you see these things, get down from the rooftop. Don't go in the house. Run for the hills. Get out of town. But he said something really peculiar. He said, pray, pray that your flight not happen in winter, and pray that it not be on a Sabbath. And however we want to look at that, I believe the end result is going to be unstoppable. We know the prophetic word of the Lord is coming to pass in Scripture, but I believe we can alter things by praying. When he says, pray it doesn't happen at this time, I believe that we're in that moment. Pray it doesn't happen in the winter. Pray it doesn't happen on the Sabbath. We can move some of this. We can just alter the needle enough to say, Lord, enough time to have one more round, enough time to win the lost, enough time for these saved, unsaved family members, or to fulfill a part of your great commission. And you and I share the same value, Alan, that people who are lost, they're not his children, they're his creation. But if we go and win them, they become his children. And that's the only way we can make God rich. And we're dedicated, you and I, to making God rich. I want to win people for the kingdom. And I believe that is why we pray to alter the narrative, to make God rich, to fulfill the Great Commission. So I like what you're saying. I'm right there with you on this.
I'm so moved by what you're saying right now, because what's just kind of just been illuminated to me is the grace of God,
the
long suffering of God, that as we talk about the most discussed moment in all of Bible history, the Bible talks about this moment, the return of Jesus, more than any other moment in the entire Bible, more detail laid out about it. This is the culmination of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It's all coming to its fulfillment. And even in that moment, if prayer is offered, give us a little more time.
Come on.
He will extend it because of his love for humanity.
Come on.
That's how much Jesus loves you, and that's how much he loves your family. I'm telling you, we cannot allow the grace of God to become something small and trivial in our sight. We must take this moment of grace that we have and be as bold as we can be, as strong as we can be, as compassionate as we can be, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many as we can, because we're in that moment of grace.
Man, right? Alan, we're together right now and you're talking. I feel this prophetic unction. Somebody's watching. They've been in ministry and they're truly trying to escape the Lord. They're escaping. They're Jonah. They're running from the issue, and really they don't realize they're running from their own mercy. They're running from their own breakthrough. They're running from their own calling. And I believe as Bishop Alan is talking to you, somebody's heart is beginning to be warmed, and it's a conviction, but not of condemnation. It's a conviction drawing you back to his loving kindness and tender mercy, saying, you know what I've called you to do. You know what I've marked you to do. Apostle, prophet, teacher, preacher, pastor, evangelist, come home in Jesus' name. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Alan, release it, man. You've got this power on you to just begin to speak to this. There are people that need to hear the word of the Lord right now. Please, man of God, release it. Begin to pray.
I'm going to say this right now. And the moment I do, scales are falling off. Awake, O sleeper.
Awake. Awake.
Awake. Arise from slumber now. You have been tormented long enough.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, come out of the darkness, come out of the doldrums, come out of the shallow flatlands of your spiritual experience and come into the glorious heights of the glory and the majesty of the call of God that's on your life. This is your moment. You are the generation. It is your destiny. And I speak into you and I say, be free from the mediocrity that has surrounded you. Be free from the deceptions that have bound you. Be free from the destruction that has tried to destroy you. It has all come to naught, and your enemy is about to encounter a God he cannot fence in, hide from, or run away from. You are about to see the resurrection power of God Almighty in you as he does a work in you, not for your sake, but for his holy name's sake. Just lift your hands right there and tell him, be glorified in me, Lord.
Be glorified.
Just be glorified in me.
Be glorified, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Awake, O sleeper.
Awake, O sleeper. You know, one of the markings on your ministry too, Alan, I've noticed is honestly powerful healing, physical healing. Mm-hmm. And there's people that are, you're watching right now, and I sense people that are having major, it's supernatural and it's physical, but weariness issues. I'm seeing people that are so, they're just dragging. They're so tired. They're fatigued all the time from crisis, from life, from what's going on in all of our DNA because of this mess they're creating. And Alan, as the Lord leads you, would you please start with that, but pray as God would lead you for healing? Because I know somebody's going to get their healing right now while we're together today. I can see it happening. Please, sir.
Come on. Now, this is going to be, now begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are watching or struggling with what he said, because this is going to require an impartation to break the bondage of this thing. I can tell you this right now. I do not get weary. I do not grow weary.
Amen.
I do not get tired. I do not get anxious. I can impart that to you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to do that now. But I sense this in my spirit. Hernias are being healed now.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus, be healed right now in the name of Jesus.
Healed.
Glory to God. Livers being healed now in the name of Jesus. I command your pelvic region to be restored now and aligned by the power of the glory of God in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you battling weariness, tiredness, worn out, burnout, in Jesus' name.
Thank
in
you, Jesus'
name, I impart to you now a new spirit. I release to you the spirit of might right now. As an endowment of power, as a baptism fresh and anew from the Holy Ghost, I pray the spirit of might come on you. Now, in the name of Jesus,
now
be filled to overflowing now in
Jesus' Lord.
Name. And you will not grow weary. You will not grow tired. You will not burn out. You will stand in the strength of the Lord God Almighty and in the joy that he has provided you through his redemption. Receive it now. Begin to declare, I receive. Write it in the comments.
I receive in Jesus' name. Receive it. Man, that's powerful. That is strong, brother. I don't know if you can feel that, ladies and gentlemen, if you sense that. Some people may not, but I'm telling you, the power of God is here, and he is touching you. God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. He wants you to experience the fullness of what he has for you more than you do. I encourage you, as we're still ministering and we're talking here, please repost this, share this. Somebody needs to see this. You know, you need to share it so somebody can have their breakthrough to get a touch. By sharing, you're really reaching out and blessing somebody and speaking right into their life through this broadcast as we're here together live today. I encourage you to continue agreeing with us. Now, we have a lot we're walking into in this next year, Alan. I'm it's a weird combination. I shouldn't even use the word weird. It's a unique combination of soberness, as you said, and joy. It's like sober and joy. You look at it and say, well, the world could really burn in a few areas, but the joy of the Lord is going to take us right through this. And I feel that. And I believe over your ministry, a supernatural impartation of land is coming. A supernatural impartation of land is coming. Land from the hand in the name of Jesus, I see land coming to you and strength is coming. And I see a person saying, you know what, I'm going to help you. And I see strength beginning to manifest for you, Alan, and this land and this building setting. I see God working with you and opening up his good treasures to you. It's been concealed, but it's going to be revealed. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to help you tremendously for this next round. And I believe there's a reason, there's almost been a hesitation in the Spirit to get you into the coming season, because I believe through the dip or through a time of decline, there's going to be opportunity, that it's going to be so much better had you gotten it on the front side. And I believe God's helping you immensely during this time. You're blessed and your ministry is awesome. You know, as a matter of fact, I just, I'm so appreciative of your ministry, Alan. You know, you and I've talked about this and I got to taste some of it before, but you have a brand of coffee you're putting out. A brand of coffee. I mean, who does it? I love it. And so I'm like a, you know, I'm a coffee drinker. Okay. So like I spend time, I stay wired, you know, but, what is, it's like, it's got unique names. Can you give me at least one or two of them? What do you got for me?
Yeah, I got to show you this, because we want to create a parallel economy. I think a lot of us are just tired of giving our money to woke companies, the things that we use every day. So we said, let's start a coffee company called Encounter Coffee. And the first blend we have right here is called the Wigglesworth Blend, Awakening Faith. And it's, I'm telling you, it is the best coffee you've ever had in your life. It is absolutely amazing. And then we just released this one. It's called Azusa Street Mornings is what it's called. It's got William Seymour there. Azusa Street Mornings. And it's kind of a stronger kind of a Honduras Guatemalan blend. But it's, people are loving this, that they can actually support the preaching of the gospel.
Absolutely.
And get amazing coffee at the same time. And so that's available in our store right now.
Well, I'm going to get some from you. I like that. And the one that you talked about, Wigglesworth Blend, you know, Wigglesworth used to punch people.
That's right.
This could be like a good punch to get you.
It's got a punch to wake you up in the morning, Awakening Faith. And Azusa Street, we call it Morning Outpouring. That's what that
morning,
is.
Morning Outpouring. I love it.
What a gift, right? For if you love the Lord, if you know somebody loves the Lord and is full of the Holy Ghost, if they get the Wigglesworth Blend in their stocking, they're going to flip out. They're going to love it. Or Azusa
that's what
Street
I'm talking
Morning.
About.
Fantastic.
It is Christmas. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I just, Alan, I got to tell you, you know, I just really stand with your ministry. We've been greatly blessed by you, by your wonderful family. Your son and daughter are just tremendous leaders in their generation. Your wife's just delightful. And you guys have a tremendous ministry. And I just honor you today. I speak life over you. We're so pleased to know you. And over this next year, you'll probably see Alan and I doing a whole lot more together. We've had a real busy season the last few months, but we're going to really kind of gear up again. And I think the Lord is putting the right hearts together, the right anointings together to really take some ground.
Well, really thankful for you, the feelings mutual, and for your partners who helped make all of this possible.
Thank you, Alan. Well, man of God, if anybody wants to stand with Alan DeDio, what website can they go to? How do they stand with you?
EncounterToday.com is where you can find all of our stuff. EncounterNews.com has our blogs and lots of cool stuff that we're putting out on our new website. We actually have a new premium section of our website, which the first month is like $1, and you get all these behind-the-scenes interviews and discussions that we have with all of our guests and more discipleship there.
Well, you got great stuff. When some of the alien news broke or different things are happening, Alan, just so you guys know, Alan reaches out to me right away. He's like, bro, you got to check this out. And I'm like, oh, that's my lane. I love this. And so he's on it. And I'm telling you, his material is excellent. And I don't know if we could talk about this yet or not, but you're working on another new book, right? And can you mention it, or maybe we'll just tell people to wait?
It's called Summoning the Demon. Woo. AI, Aliens, and the Antichrist. And it was based off of Elon Musk. When he was asked about artificial intelligence, he said concerningly that I feel like we're summoning the demon. So it's titled Summoning the Demon, AI, Aliens, and the Antichrist. And we go into all of that and how it relates to the end time deception and what you need to know. And what we do in that book is we take all these crazy things people are saying and we bring it back to the Word. Back to the Word. How can you give an answer for the hope that lies within you? From Skinwalker Ranch to Project Blue Book, Project Blue Beam, it's going to be all in this book, and we're super excited about it.
When you finish that and it's ready to come out, man, we got to come on and talk about it. I can't wait to talk about that book.
Let's do it.
Alan, if you would you please pray for everybody? Just say a prayer for us today.
Father, be glorified now through this conversation, through this fellowship. For every house represented that is watching this right now, we pray household salvation.
Yes, Lord.
Nothing missing, nothing broken. we receive the prodigals. I feel that now in your spirit. For all those who are partnering with Joseph Z Ministries, there's going to be a returning of the prodigals that takes place. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we receive it. Just like Cornelius' house was saved as a result of the seed that he sowed, in the name of Jesus, so because of what you've done in this ministry, God is going to reciprocate with supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles. We receive it now for every single viewer now and partner in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Alan, you are my brother. I'm grateful for you, and I look forward to having you back on again very, very soon. Our audience loves you. Don't you love Bishop Alan DiDio? We sure do. So, Alan, thank you again, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, God bless you, everybody. Please repost this, share this everywhere. And yes, thank you, partners, for being a part of this. Without you, we couldn't do what we're doing. And you're so gracious to be a part of this. You go to josephz.com. You text the keyword give to 719-259-0029. Thank you so much for being here. We'll be back again tomorrow. Jesus is Lord. On a bad day, you're anointed to be the best there is. We'll see you then. God bless you, everyone. And thank you, Bishop Bell. Bye, everybody. Recently, we've seen a dramatic increase in partnership in this ministry. And I want to talk to you about it just very briefly. And the reason is because every day we go live or we're broadcasting and there are people who pretend to be us or there's different ways people are contacted. And I simply want to give you the safe and clear route for how to become a partner and stand with this ministry. Number one, you only go to josephz.com to become a partner. Secondly, you can text that keyword give to 719-259-0029. The reason I bring this up is because partners are such a vital part of this ministry. And when you become a partner, first of all, you're going to hear from us. We're going to call you. We're going to celebrate with you. And we'll be praying with you all the time. As a matter of fact, we have quite an interaction going with our partner family. And if you want to do that today, we welcome you. Welcome to the family if you want to do it today. I encourage you to pray about it because I believe the Lord is calling God-appointed people to stand with this ministry. You can also simply give a one-time gift, stand with the ministry. All of the information for doing so is available at josephz.com or right here on the screen. And I want to encourage you to do so. Our team will call you, they will stand with you, and they will be praying over you. I simply wanted to say this today because we are looking forward to building so many more avenues of reaching people. Remember, we're calling it a million to reach a billion. Help us raise up a million clear-eyed, clear-minded reformers to reach a billion for the kingdom of God. Please consider becoming a partner today. We would just love to welcome you to our partner family. Let's go win the world together for Jesus.